So people have asked, Father, how much have you actually studied Spanish? So I took classes in Spanish from eighth grade through my freshman year of college. My eighth grade Spanish teacher said something to our class that I took as a personal challenge. And it wasn't to learn lots of vocabulary. It wasn't to master Spanish grammar. She told us, well, you all are already too old to actually get a good Spanish accent down. So I made it my mission to make sure I knew how to pronounce things in Spanish. Would have been nice if I'd have focused more on the other stuff, but I succeeded in getting the accent down, sometimes to my own detriment, because I can read Spanish out loud pretty well, and so people think he's got to be able to speak it, and then they start talking to me in Spanish. And that's about where the wheels come off. Getting better over 8 months of each week celebrating Mass in Spanish, got a good way to go yet. But that first weekend in January that I was back with you, I got to 12:30 Mass, and everything had just been a lot, more than I expected. And so I just blew it, even reading the Spanish. And so at the announcements, I kind of said in my broken Spanish, apologizing to the people, you know, I promise I am working to learn the language better because I'm your priest too, and I want you to know that. So after Mass, people were very kind, very accommodating to me. You know, Father, you're doing your best. Father, you know, it's great that you're even trying to speak two languages. I really only speak one, all of that. But there was one comment that has stuck with me over the last 8 months. This woman in our Hispanic community came up to me and she said, Father, we were so happy when we heard that it was you that was assigned here because we knew with you we would have a father. Oh, that broke me that day, and it totally changed my approach to, frankly, our whole Hispanic community. Because what it did was situate everything in the context of a relationship of love. And it freed me from the sort of perfectionism that would have paralyzed me and go, well, I can't say this perfectly, so I'm just kind of not going to say anything. Or the idea that they were looking on me in judgment that I wasn't giving them enough or able to be enough for them. It reoriented and reorients everything. And so that's why I share this, not as some sort of like, oh, pat Father on the back kind of thing, but actually as a real encounter with love that changed a great deal of my thought and behavior. And this unlocks our readings this weekend, because it's really easy for us to get stuck on just one part of the gospel. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. And immediately we begin thinking, okay, so will only a few people be saved? Am I part of that? Will God grade on a curve if I'm just kind of better than most other people? And all of that is to look at these readings from the wrong direction, to begin with ourselves rather than to begin with God. Because all three of these readings actually are about revealing the heart of the Father to us. Because as we go to the end of this reading, Jesus' focus is on what people are missing. That God's desire is to gather people from the east and the west, from the north and the south, to have all of the nations gathered into his kingdom. And this is a fulfillment of what we hear in Isaiah. This is the last chapter of Isaiah that we're hearing from. And so Isaiah has spoken to a people that has been scattered in exile, that has suffered greatly. And so in the face of that, he reminds them of who the Lord is. That even though they have been unfaithful, even though they have been scattered, he is coming not just to gather them back to Jerusalem. And of course, in this, Isaiah is also speaking of the heavenly Jerusalem. But all of the nations, the Gentiles, Tarshish, Put, Lud, Moshach, Tubal, Javan, all of these places will come to know the fame and glory of God. And again, the generosity of God will be seen in the way that they are gathered together, that coming to this people that has been scattered, that has lost everything, they'll be so caught up in the praise of God that they'll need horses with chariots, carts, mules and dromedaries to carry all of their offerings to God himself. This is a heart that is expansive, not a heart that is stingy. All right, so then, what do we make then, Father, of the narrow gate? What do we make of this reminder from the letter to the Hebrews that God does indeed discipline us? Well, again, we need to make sure that we are hearing the word discipline as flowing from the heart of a perfect father. So all of us have probably experienced, and if we have any measure of authority at all, perpetrated imperfect and wounding authority. Maybe we experienced that at the hands of our parents. Maybe we experienced that at the hands of a priest. Maybe we experienced that at the hands of a teacher or a coach. Maybe we experienced that at the hands of a bishop. And so that can warp our understanding of discipline, both in how we receive it as well as how we give it. That we can think that discipline means grinding someone down, breaking their will until they're submissive and docile. But again, listen to the whole reading. What is the discipline of the Father supposed to be? What is our discipline when we exercise it supposed to be? Strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be disjointed but healed. This is not a vision of discipline that beats people into submission. This is a discipline that raises people up, that heals what is wounded and strengthens what is weak and makes even better what is already good. And so this makes sense then of what Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. This is coming from the heart of a father who is not looking and going, well, only this many people were born strong enough. All the rest of you, you're just lost. You're hopeless. No, this is coming from the heart of a father that desires to make us strong enough, to give us what we need to be able to enter through that narrow gate. Again, a God who is not stingy or elitist, but a God who is generous, who desires to heal what is wounded and broken, and to strengthen what is already healthy to make it even better. And then finally, that I think most painful of lines that we could ever possibly hear on Judgment Day. I do not know where you are from. I do not know you. This shows us that the desire of the Father's heart is to know us, to know us personally, individually, intimately. This destroys the idea that we're just one number among many to God, that God is only concerned with the masses, with humanity. Instead, God cares about humans. Us, each as persons, as beloved adopted sons and daughters. So these readings are ultimately about the heart of the Father that is expansive in its desire for salvation, that people from all the corners of the earth would be gathered into the heavenly Jerusalem. The heart of a Father that seeks to heal and make whole, to strengthen and to perfect. And the heart of a Father that desires to know his children and be known by his children, individually, intimately, perfectly. This is vitally important for us in our relationship with him, and it's also vitally important in our desire to evangelize others. Because so often we get stuck on the idea of, okay, so I got to enter through the narrow gate kind of by my own force of will. And that means if I'm going to bring others along, I got to start chiseling away at their stuff so that they can also enter in the narrow gate. That's not it. Our evangelization, first and foremost, is making sure that the people we are bringing to Jesus and to his church meet the heart of the Father that is expansive, that desires to heal and strengthen and perfect, that desires to know. To know intimately and individually each person who will be his adopted son or daughter. Then, we and those we're bringing to Jesus do go, okay, so Father, how do I live as part of your family? And in asking that question with the context of knowing the Father's heart, suddenly that gate is not hard to enter. It's not narrow in the sense that it is restrictive. It is narrow in that it is our only focus because it is the pathway deeper into the Father's love. So as we draw close to Jesus, who reveals to us his Father's heart still, we bring him those places where maybe we've been trying to be strong enough on our own, where we have thought of God as stingy, as one who in his discipline seeks to break us, and allow Jesus, our older brother, firstborn from the dead, to reveal to us and to give us an experience, an ongoing one, of the heart of his Father, so that we then also can bring others to experience the Father's heart as well.